Barche interviewing Peggy Hartwell for the Archives of American Art in her New York apartment on Central Park West. Peggy, your name is Peggy, spelled with an I-E at the end. Is that your actual name?
Yes, it is, but it was spelled with a Y.
Oh.
And then I changed it when I started dancing in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
But my birth certificate is P-E-G-G-Y.
Okay.
But everything after that, all legal documents, shows P-E-G-G-I-E.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
How do you define yourself as an artist?
That's a good question. I define myself as a folk artist, as a just as a folk artist, one who... As a folk artist, as an artist of today, just
mm-hmm.
as an artist of
mm-hmm.
who wears many hats.
Mm-hmm. Where and when were you born?
I was born in Springfield, South Carolina, January 9th, 1939.
And could you say something about your childhood and your family background?
Okay, I was born into a family of farmers. My grandfather owned quite a bit of land, so we all lived together more or less because it was all connecting land, and as his children got married, they went to live on part of the land
mm-hmm.
or they married someone who was attached to that
mm-hmm.
land. So the land turned into be something like 200 acres, which he already had, and it was very large. And this was a very good childhood because all the women did some type of needlework or some type of craft.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the men were storytellers.
Mm-hmm.
So that my life was rich with oral history, it was rich with sewing and just church going and just day-to-day existence
mm-hmm.
on a farm.
Mm-hmm. What kind of needlework did they do?
They did quilting, they made their own clothes, and they would take the feed bags and turn them into or flour sack, these huge sacks that flour came in, or grain, and they would bleach it and make things like tablecloths and napkins and doilies and things
mm-hmm.
like that. My mother was also a very good crochet artist, I'll
mm-hmm.
put it, because she made some wonderful things, tablecloths and stuff like that.
Well, when they made quilts, were they making them for beds, or were they making quilts to hang on the wall?
They were making them for utilitarian uses,
mm-hmm.
but the interesting thing about that is that the quilt tops all had stories within themselves because no fabric was ever purchased for these quilts, so that the quilt was made from parts of fabric left over for sewing, or someone would donate a piece of a garment that was saved from a worn-out coat, dress, or whatever. So that's what was on top of the quilts. And so, no, they didn't hang them, but still they were sacred because
mm-hmm.
they were
mm-hmm.
One generation to another generation.
Mm-hmm.
You could look on there and see part of your great-grandmother
mm-hmm.
down to the latest child being born.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a type of oral history on top of the
mm-hmm.
quilt itself.
Well, were the quilts made for particular occasions, like somebody's wedding or the birth of a child or something like that?
No, they were not. They were just made during the winter months, all that fabric that was saved during the summer, and the winter when you couldn't farm, they would go from house to house and they would make a quilt a day, which was very easy to do if you have 10 or 15 women working on a top. So they would complete the top in the morning, and it was always on a frame that could go up to the ceiling, and they would pull it up to
mm-hmm.
the ceiling around midday, prepare dinner. They would eat after dinner, the frame would come down, and all these women would sit around the quilt. And at the end of the quilt, at the end of the day, the quilt was finished.
Well, did they use big pieces of fabric?
No, not necessarily. They used, if they were using strip quilts, I would say these strips were about 2.5 to 3 inches long and width, and maybe 5 inches
mm-hmm.
in length. So no, they didn't work with extremely large pieces.
Well, were they doing this, of course, by hand?
By hand, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes they would piece